If you can find your Bibles. Those who are yet awakened from his touch. I want to speak on something we spoke on not long ago, but I feel to carry on a bit further. And that's in John 11. Chronologically, John is the last book written in the Bible. According to canon, Revelation is last, but according to chronology, the last book written was the book of John. This certain man was sick, named Lazarus, Bethany. The town of Mary and her sister Martha. Therefore his sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And again it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. It's a marvelous thing to be loved by God. To be selected to have that love upon you. That doesn't mean everything's going to work the way you think it ought to work. That doesn't mean to say that your path of life is now above all problems, troubles. But it does mean something so lovely and so secure and so beautiful. And because Jesus loved these two, he chose them to bring forth to the world two tremendous truths. He wanted the world to know that. He wanted to bring it forth to his own dear friends. But he couldn't pre-inform them, because if he did, they would react abnormally, wouldn't they? And because they would, it would lose all its impact, all its strength, all its force. It never is the same if you read a book and read the last chapter first, is it? And so, they weren't given the last chapter first. They just walked through it from beginning to end. It had to be that way, because otherwise there'd be no strength in it. He wanted to bring forth these truths with a way that the world would hear about it. And we're still hearing about it, aren't we? When he came to them, they both said, as it were, Master, we don't understand. Did you ever say that? Did you ever feel that? I have many times. But I'm very glad. As I said once before, I'd be sad if I did understand. That means that wouldn't be much involved, doesn't it? How could you stay away so long when your beloved friend was sick and languishing, even in the agony of death? How could you do it? I don't understand. If you say you loved him, why did you let him go on in such agony, in such a sickness that he couldn't overcome? It wasn't a case of being sick and getting well. It was a case of being sick and dying. How could you do that? If you just come, it wouldn't have happened that way. How could you allow death to come to someone you really love? And you could have healed him if you'd come when they called you. How could you do it? Why did he have to pass through such deep? Why did we have to pass through such deep anguish? Why do we have to have this so in our hearts? Why do we have to have this deep grief? Why do we have to go through this? The funeral, the loss, the last sight of his dying and his deathbed. Our hearts are torn and broken. Why did we have to? Why didn't you come? And that's really what they said, isn't it? You know, Jesus never answered that. He never answered the questions. But he did say two things about himself. First, Jesus saith unto her, it was later he said it, but I put it first, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Now that's the first truth he wanted to present. If you believe, you will live to see the glory of God. If you'll just hang in, if you'll just believe when everything goes wrong and fear's wrong, you'll see the glory of God. You'll see it take place. You'll see how it works. Believing and waiting would not only clear up the mystery of why it was all taking place, but it would bring them into the revelation of the glory of God. They would see God in a complete new light. And no understanding. They would see him in a new way. As it were, it was their journey up to the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw he's not only a friend and a healer, but they said, wait a minute. As the disciples said at another occasion, what manner of man is this? He was not only able to heal the sick, but he was able to come against death, man's implacable, relentless enemy, and force it to loose its hold, and force it to retreat, and force it, as David forced the lion to let go the lamb. And they never knew he was like that, did they? He said, you'll see the glory of God. What is the glory of God? Jesus is the glory of God, isn't he? And you'll see him, and you'll see him in a new glory. You'll see him in a new life. You'll see him, what he really came to do is to set us free and to give us life. For we were dead. We were dead. And as he said once before, that you might know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, rise. And that we might know that he has the power to bring us out of death into eternal life, he said to Lazarus, come forth. That you might know, that we might know, that I might know, that you might know, what manner of man is this? The glory of God. If you'll believe, you'll see the glory. You'll see the glory. You'll see the one that is able. You'll see the one that hates death just as much as you do, and will be able to overcome it. And they held fast their faith, didn't they? Firm unto the end. For it's always a battle of faith. That's where the whole thing lies. We can all believe when things are easy. We can all believe when we're not under any pressure. We can all believe when there's no sickness laying hold of us. We can all believe when it seems like everything's under control. But it's when it isn't. So if you can believe then, you'll see the glory of God in spite of any enemy that comes against us, even death itself. And the second truth is, I am the resurrection. You know me as Jesus, but I have another name. You know me as the healer, the carpenter, the prophet, the friend that's come here to your home to sit down at your table and eat with you many times. But I have another name, Martha, that you never heard. But I'm going to tell it to you now. I am the resurrection. And oh, how man has needed such a name. Because it was never heard of. Save for two or three times when the prophets exercised that power, death swallowed up all its enemies, didn't it? It swallowed them all up, generation after generation after generation, one after another, and no one ever stood and said, I am the resurrection. No one ever stood and said, but I am the one that's going to change things. I am the one that's going to bring a reverse to the whole thing. I am the one that's going to turn everything backwards. I am the one that's going to turn things around. I am the one that's able to enter into the situation, even if death has come in, and turn it around. I'm not only able to heal the sick, I'm able to heal after the sickness has done its work. That's who I am. You've not really known me, Martha. You've not really known me, Mary. But I want to announce something. My name is I Am the Resurrection. What a difference it makes. What a difference it makes even our thinking about death. Many years ago when I went to the land of Uruguay, back in the 40s, early 40s, I went to visit a cemetery. It was a heathen cemetery. It was a godless cemetery. It was a cemetery where idols held sway. And the things you would read on the tombstones and on the mausoleums, everything was sad and hopeless. Angels weeping. My son is gone. I'll never see him again. Hopelessness. Well, it wasn't one place we saw in that large cemetery where the slightest bit of hope, the slightest bit of expectation. We looked for it. We hunted for it. Not one. Mother's gone. Sisters, brothers, friends, husbands. And then we crossed the street to the British cemetery. And it was shockingly different. Everyone asleep in Jesus, waiting for the morn. I'll join you soon. Such things as that. Hope was in everyone. Hope was there. Because there was no hope without Christ. Who would dare to stand and say, I am the resurrection? And Martha, you will see the glory of God. You'll see that I am. Because I've loved you, Martha, that's why. Because I've loved you, Mary, that's why. Because I've set my love on you and on Lazarus, and so you are going to be the ones that will tell the world who I am. You are my friends, and it will be you that let the world know that there is come another force and another power and a glory and a hope into this miserable world, and I'm the one that's bringing it, and you'll be the one that will testify of it. Because I've loved you. Why weren't you here? Now I'll tell you why. Because I've chosen you to be a witness of the glory of God. God never does things pointlessly. He never does things without purpose. He never thinks those he's loving unless he plans, like he did Peter, to take them right out of the water before it closes over them. What a wonderful thing to be loved. What a wonderful thing to be loved. If he loves you, not even death can claim you. Not even. Because he has the keys of death and hell. How wonderful it is to have the love of God upon you. To have the one, by him say, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you. And I've loved you with an everlasting love. What manner of love is this? And even while we're yet sinners, Christ would die for us. That's the love of God. And that's why death can't stop his mercies from coming to those he loves. It can't stop his blessings. It can't stop his helping. It can't stop his moving into their situation and reversing it. Not even death. And that's pretty irreversible, isn't it? Martha, Mary, Lazarus, I want you to testify to the world. If you believe, you shall see the glory of God. And you'll see it upon everyone that I love, that I set my love upon. His rulership didn't end at the grave. You might almost say it almost begins there. as he takes over. Those have been chosen by his grace, chosen by his mercy, having the blessing of being loved of God. Abraham was one. He was a friend of God, wasn't he? And because he was a friend of God and God loved him, he said, I want you to slay your son. Oh, impossible. Isn't it impossible? But Abraham, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. And Abraham was led up to the mountain and he saw a cross. A cross. Where is the Lamb? God himself shall be the Lamb. And he was, wasn't he? The wonderful Lamb of God. That's why he loved Jacob. It took him quite a while for Jacob to find that out, but he did. Falling all the way. And then when he became Israel, he stole his son. Took him away. Joseph, gone. He thought the wild beast had consumed the son. And the empty, miserable, heart-aching years went by. He never forgot it. He didn't just cry for 6 months and forget it. He never forgot it. But Jacob, here. If thou shalt believe, thou shalt see the glory of God. And one day, they brought news. Joseph lives. Come get in the chariot. We're going to see him. And the day came, he stood and saw his Joseph face to face as vice regent of Egypt. Hallelujah. Why? Because he loved him. He saw with his own eyes, God, you're bigger than I ever understood. He saw the glory of God that day. And so on it goes. Joseph himself, destined to be the vice regent, languishing jail. Thrown there, oh, you know the circumstances, by a lying, deceitful woman. And yet, Joseph, hang on. If you can believe, you shall still see the glory of God. And he saw the glory of God, didn't he? Even when he saw all his family gathered there and covered under his own wings. You see, that's God's way. Maybe you're saying now, well, I don't know if I want to be loved. Maybe you say, well, that's fine for a few heroes, but I'm not a hero. But you see, how else will we see the glory of God? How else will we discover who he is? How else will we know him? Unless he moves into our situations where we can nothing and he can everything. How else can we know? Whom saith men that I am? Well, some say you're Elias, some say you're John the Baptist. Well, who do you say I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Great, wonderful. They still didn't know him. For a while later, when he stilled the waves and the storm at sea, they looked at one another and said, what manner of man is this? Didn't they? And still later, he took three of them out in the mountain of transfiguration. What manner of man is this? As they beheld the glory of God, didn't they? God sets his love upon us. But I want to tell you something. We still will not have the revelation until that love is to be turned, until that faith is there, until that trust is there, and he can take us into situations and then prove who he is. And we'll know him. Then the revelation of our God and our Christ will come to us. Then we'll understand Because we are strange creatures. We can't understand anything without experience. We have to experience to understand. We can know without it. We can have knowledge without it, but we can't have understanding without an experience. We have to have that. I'm thinking of Peter. He loved Peter, didn't he? He loved him a lot. It's wonderful to be loved of God. And because he loved him, he let him fall into the pit of disgrace, into the slough of shame, and denied that he ever knew Christ. And while Christ was in hell, Peter was walking around on the borders of it, all alone, piteous, ashamed, condemned, convicted. Jesus loved Peter. So Peter, I want you to show the world how far you can go and still believe. I pray that your faith won't fall. That far, and still not lose faith. Isn't that something? So we've written off people before they get that far, haven't we? You say, well, they're gone. Look what they've done. Look how far they've gone. They're gone. Peter, I want you to show the world how far they can go, how far they can turn against me, what they can do, and still believe. Isn't that wonderful? When he sets his love upon someone, they're just not going to fail, that's all. One way or another, he's going to bring them through. They just can't go that far. I'm thinking of somebody. I think we got it in the scripture if you want to turn to it, Mark. The rich young ruler, Mark 10, 17, 22. He's one that we've written off, isn't he? He's one that we saw walk away sorrowful. He's one that Christ said, well, if you really want to get into the kingdom of God, you've got to go and sell everything you have. And he was a rich man. What did he do? He turned away sorrowful, didn't he? But I want to show you something. We'll read the story quickly. When he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Now what? After that, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Did you see that? Loved him. And because he loved him, look what he said to him. One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad, grieved, sorrowful at that saying. Went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus loved him. He doesn't lose what he loves. He did not even tell him to go sell his possessions until after he set his love upon him. Would you notice that? Now look. He went away sorrowful, didn't he? But I want to point out to you, not angry. Not insulted. Not resentful, not rebellious, not confused, not even filled with unbelief. He went away with sorrow. Why? I've got to do it. That's going to cost me. It'll be hard. I want to tell you something. Contrary to most people, I expect to see him in heaven. Because Jesus loved him. That's why. And because he loved him, he said, if you believe, you shall yet see the glory of God. In all these cases, it doesn't say they love God, does it? That comes later. He has to win our love. He will win our love. But God loved him. Jesus loved him. He went away sorrowful. There goes all his plans. There goes all his ambitions. There goes his position. There goes his pride. There goes his riches. Blessed is the man that Jesus loves. Blessed is the man that Jesus loves. Regardless of what comes in that life, he'll always be brought through, one way or another. Well, what if they die? They'll still see the glory of God. Hallelujah. What if they're a martyr and they perish? They'll still see the glory of God. Because he's already proved that death doesn't stop it, hasn't he? He already proved that that doesn't stand in my way. He's king over death. Ruler over it. And that's why you can't write somebody off your list if he's loved them. If he set his love upon them, don't be in a hurry. God isn't through yet. There's only one people I fear for, and that's the people that there's never any manifestation of the grace or the mercy of the love of God upon them. Those are the ones I fear. But when he has, and he's manifested it, and sometimes many times, just hold steady. If you believe, you shall see the glory of God. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Beloved of God, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But oh, I pray that you not only have the love of God upon you, but you'll come to a place you'll love him who first loved you. That you'll love him because he loved you. That will awaken in your heart a reciprocal love. That will become a filial love, a love that feeds from both sides, not just one side, because he's our Redeemer. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being the one that so loved the world, you sent your Son, gave him a gift. That we might have life eternal. That death should never come between us. That we should still stand and see the glory of God. Both here and there. We shall see and know and behold and rejoice in it. And I thank you. And Father, I pray tonight. Open up our hearts to a faith. To a knowledge that because you've loved us, nor height, nor depth, nor principality, nor things past, nor things to come, nor demons, nor any other thing can separate us from that wonderful love of God. And I thank you. He is my Savior. He is my Savior. My Lord. My King.